this evening. I'd like to welcome you all here this evening and briefly outline the purpose and format of the meeting. But first, I'll introduce the people who've come along to explain the process and hopefully answer your questions. I'm Carol Jones, I'm one of the councillors for Berwick Ward. On the end is my colleague, Councillor Hassan Ahmed. Councillor Ibrahim sends his apologies, he's ill this evening. We've got representatives from the police, we've got the DTI, Rob Griffin, we've got Inspector Dermot Paul, Mark Tindall, and Adrian Involved, the CPO for the area. And we've also got Neil Harvey, who's from the operational centre of the Woodlands, to answer any technical questions. And we've also got somewhere the neighbourhood management team, but they're sitting there. And I'd like to thank Debbie for all the hard work she's done. She's had loads of legal things to sort out, and she's answered lots of queries, so thank you, Debbie. Right, we'll get on with the meeting. The purpose of the meeting. The reason for initiating the provision of May 2008,
Another petition was went out proposing for CCTV for Forest Field. 180 signatures were put forward. Again, it was put to the council, and we were fortunate that the council said they've been able to secure some funding to hold for potential three masts in Forest Field. That was just a quick recap. So from the police perspective, why do the police get involved? Well, the prime reason is a crime issue. Now, just to go through the Forest Field, three proposed areas where we say the mast should be located is the Watford one, there was a junction of Burford Road and Berwick Road, followed by another one at Leslie Road, junction with Berwick Road, and one further up to Foxhall Road and Alberta Terrace. So, we've got a number of streets around Forest Field. Why these three particular locations? Right, crime data. I think that was one of the questions posed by the residents. Where is the supporting evidence that we need to locate masts in those areas? In that 150 metres radius are the locations of a number of crimes that have occurred over the past 3 years. Each year I've got a breakdown. It is reoccurring and reoccurring. Those particular seem to be the focal areas of where there is antisocial behaviour and number of crime issues. Number of crime issues are we looking at is auto crime, burglary, criminal damage, drugs, fire incidents, robbery, violent incidents, public order offences. A spread over 3 years. Fortunately, I can say things have improved, but if we're looking at the data and doing comparisons over the years, it seems to be a focal area around those areas. That actually equates to 50% of the overall crime for Forest Hills beach area. Overall, 50% of the crime are around those three focal areas. Further to that, as you will look at it, so well, that's 3 years' data. What's more recent? Our Crime and Disorder Partnership have done a review last year on where the current location of CCTV is and where the relevant hotspot of crime is. That, again, will show you, that was carried out in the location where, clearly, if I just put here, of the three areas where it's been proposed. There is still a red hotspot area. When I say a red hotspot area, it actually equates to two crimes a week in those locations. The greener areas equate to one crime a week. But what I want to say, we put this and we keep going, what you're sitting there as residents, and I'm here as an inspector with my 70, what we're doing as a police, why are we waiting for 3 years? This is accumulated over the years, not accumulated, it gives you a picture. Positive work has taken place in Forest Hills over the years. Good results of arrests, drug warrants, theft warrants. We've also done a lot of work around antisocial behaviour. We've actually given warning letters out to young people. We've also proceeded with ASBO orders on individuals. So it's not on its own. We have actually looked at other solutions and resources, and we have been effective. But why CCTV? What I'm just going to do, before I actually go on to why CCTV, I just want to introduce you to Neil. Neil just explained to you where the actual office is and the staffing situation and where it's monitored. He is open for questions at the end, but I just want you to just hear from the basic background of where the CCTV is, and then I'll go back to some of the reasons and some of the benefits of CCTV for Forest Field.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Neil Harvey. I'm a Performance Monitoring Officer for Nottingham City Council Surveillance and Monitoring Service. I work for John Broomfield, who's a Surveillance and Monitoring Manager, and I have a colleague who does the same job as myself. We are the only three council workers that work for the Surveillance and Monitoring. The staffing is contracted out, and Group 4 Security Corps suddenly, at the moment, hold that contract. Their staffing is a contract manager on site Monday to Friday. Four teams of seven officers and one supervisor, and they monitor that service 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. They work 12-hour shifts, and all our staff hold a public space CCTV licence. Our control room is split into two sections. Within the control room, we monitor 21 high-rise blocks for Nottingham City Homes, and at the moment, 200 public space cameras, 40 of which are situated in the city centre and Ball Town Centre, the rest in the outlying estates, Broxgow, Rusford, Bells Lane, and so forth. We have four speaking cameras within that network of cameras, one at Robin Hood Chase, one on Tyson Green, and two within the city centre. And these help us deal more effectively with the sort of low-level antisocial behaviour, such as littering, and informing people who are fighting that they're now being monitored by the cameras. We contracted out the staffing, and we believe this gives us a better ability to ensure that staff are trained properly, and we currently do site-specific training for all the activities that the officer carries out. All staff are cross-trained on all functions, so sit in any control room position. They all carry out a bespoke customer care course that we had specially designed for our needs. The supervisors carry out management training, and all staff go through 6 monthly appraisals to ensure their suitability for work within the surveillance monitoring. On top of that, because of our close links with our partner agencies, such as the police, all our staff are vetted to the non-police personnel vetting, which is the highest level you can get. The police can link directly to our control room via Shield of Lodge and can select any of our cameras to view. This enables us to instantly show the police any incidents that are occurring, and allows the Shieldwood Lodge control room to make a decision on the response required, thus leaving our officers free to deal with the job of getting good facial images and collecting evidence via the cameras. We have direct phone communication to the police operators and an airwave radio link, which enables us to put the Shieldwood Lodge, or if required, directly to the officer at the scene of an incident. Police use our control room to carry out surveillance as and when they're required, and we attend all the local area tasking and the main tasking in the city on a weekly basis. We can also link our cameras through the ANPR system within the Shield Lodge control room, thus giving the police an extra 8 cameras to use with their ANPR. We work closely with lots of other partner agencies, Nottingham City Homes, antisocial behaviour teams, truancy teams, schools. And to help us with this link, all our incidents are logged on a purpose-built computer system, thus enable us to record all incidents and then email them out to whichever partner agency we believe is the most relevant to carry out any action required on the footage. We hold that footage for 31 days, so therefore giving all partnership agencies a 31-day window to review footage and carry out enforcement action should it be required. We'll issue posters, which we've got some down there, we'll issue later, around areas that have got cameras. This puts our phone number out to the general public. And what we request is if people see things happening, to give us a call. Our cameras can't look 360 at any one time, and the majority of the time our cameras are on pre-step tours. These pre-step tours are arranged through tasking meetings and meetings with fleet managers so that we identify the spots most needed to be viewed and ensure that they are updated on a regular basis. Should somebody call through, we don't require names and addresses, just a location. Our officers will then take control of the cameras, will record anything that needs recording, but they will also go to court as the expert independent witness, thus removing any contact to anybody that calls. Goldwick. We do need people's help. The cameras do not see everything at all the time. Maintenance of the system is paramount to ourselves. All of our systems operate 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Nothing is switched off at all. And we employ Delaware Communications to maintain this system at a cost of around £250,000 a year. And they last year they repaired 95% of all downtime within the time specified in the maintenance contract. However, we work regularly with these people and we have on-site maintenance team so that we can ensure we can beat that year on year. All major system failures with cameras will be attended to within 4 hours. Therefore, if a major fault is reported at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, an engineer will have attended by 6 o'clock the same day. And they carry out 6 monthly preventive maintenance checks to ensure that the equipment is running and running at its best. We've just recently introduced a network of redeployable cameras into crime hotspots, and this consists of 50 poles located in positions across the city, and then each area, policing area, north, south, central and west, have 3 cameras each. The locations for the columns were identified through liaisons with neighbourhood management teams and the police, as will the sighting of the camera. So those cameras will be moved after consultation with neighbourhood management teams and the police to make sure that they go into the areas most suited for them. The surveillance and monitoring service will arrange for the cameras to be moved. There's initial cost for the columns of around £2,000 to £3,000, but no further costs after that. Maintenance is already covered by the existing revenue, and as there's no increase in camera numbers, there's no increase in maintenance cost. Movement costs are already calculated and covered by existing central budgets. Because the cameras are moved on a need-to basis and not on regular intervals, there's no increase in cost there. The electricity for the columns is paid only when and whilst cameras are in situ. To have a fixed camera in the same location as one of the mobile redeployables is not only significantly more expensive to install, but incurs a year-on-year cost of approximately £3,000. I'll hand you back to Kieran.
What happens around CCTV. As I said, it's a deployable CCTV. It is an extra resource. It's another tool in the kit bag for the police and for the community. CCTV does prevent and it does deter crime and antisocial behaviour. Equally, CCTV has and will continue to help catch criminals and help to identify people who are wanted for crime. CCTV makes people feel safe, providing public reassurance, as well as reducing crime in the area. CCTV is deployable for hotspot areas, giving that flexibility. CCTV provides evidence for prosecuting offenders. We've done some research around some positive outcomes around CCTV, and therefore, if I just show you, yes, it does move. CCTV network in Devonshire has helped arrest 500 and recovery of thousands of pounds of stolen goods. CCTV systems also highly successful operation in Devon, which achieved some excellent results and minimal budget and staffing levels. Car park crime in Durham has virtually been wiped out thanks to the presence of CCTV. Dramatic reduction in antisocial behaviour is successful in Staffordshire. South Oxfordshire, a valuable tool to fight against crime and antisocial behaviour, which has contributed to deter crime and reduce fear, increasing crime detection. These are quotes that have been researched for those sources. So clearly there's a little bit of a message there that there have been some positive outcomes. But what about local? We're in Nottingham. So what about some success stories in Nottingham with CCTV? CCTV used to help capture registration numbers of vehicles where it was involved, where the occupants of the vehicles were involved in the stabbing. That was back in May 2008. CCTV spotted youth. Right, was that funny?
Yeah.
No. We'll leave the questions to the end. I'll carry on. CCTV spotted youth in a dangerous situation. That was where they spotted a couple of youth walking on a roof, posing themselves at risk. They were there, the police were called, and they were able to basically safeguard them and get them down. There were kids messing around, and they were protected and used the CCTV. Two men convicted of Danielle Beckham have been jailed for at least 32 years. This was a 14-year-old girl who was shot whilst walking home back in 2005. Use of CCTV as part of the investigation was beneficial. CCTV has also been monitored for a prolific graffiti artist who was wanted. And as we said, the CCTV staff do actually have photos of people that we are looking out for potentially, and that was one success story in Nottingham. CCTV again monitored drug dealers. This is numerous occasions where they spotted drug dealing and where a number of people have been arrested. Countless incidents of CCTV have been used for. Four men awaiting sentence for CCTV cameras caught fighting in Retford. Again, spotted a drunk male posing a risk. So it's not just enforcement, a person's safety. And their police were able to assist and protect that person who was trying to cross a busy road.
What are they laughing at?
Well, I appreciate we did say to show some respect. So these are positive outcomes of CCTV. I appreciate some of you will be opposing, and that's why your presence is here. With respect, allow me to finish my presentation and we will have that discussion in questions and answers time. CCTV has played a crucial part also in the arrest of the suspect of the murder of Nathan Williams. Nathan Williams was a 17-year-old who was shot cycling in the Meadows at the precinct back in 2006. These are just some of the examples. I could go on and on and on. As I said, CCTV is one tool to effectively for crime prevention and enforcement. It is not the only tool. Recording. They have taken during 2007 just under 2.5 incidents at the premises of where Neil works. Of effect, just over 800 arrests took place, which equates to 35% of arrests relating to CCTV usage. That doesn't equate to the number of other arrests that other officers have done. Last year, over 2,500 of incidents, 907 arrests. Again, it equates to 35% of arrests. As I said to you earlier on, it is not just enforcement. CCTV has been used to safeguard people. And not all incidents are around enforcement. It is not about arresting. A number of incidents that the CCTV has found footage of and social behaviour. Young people have been given warning letters. Youth workers have been detached in those areas to do prevention work. Alcohol and drug, alcohol workers, detached workers, where there has been low-level drug or drinking session areas, we've detached other agencies to support. So it's just some good examples of partnership work. More importantly, I'm here not because this has been instigated by the police. This has been a request, a proposal by the residents. These are some comments made by the residents to the Safe and Able team. It was a response to a number of questionnaires that were completed. what they were asked what they felt could be done to improve the area. Many replied CCTV. Bear with me. I haven't got all the facts in front of me. Just bear with the questionnaire that was completed. That's what I'll come back to you. Can act as a method of crime prevention. These are quotes from the residents. Camera will be absolutely brilliant. Hopes that the cameras will stop people speeding. Cameras will make people feel safer. Hope that the camera will provide public reassurance. Camera are excellent news. One of the best things to happen in Forest Fields. Just some examples. I appreciate it. It doesn't reflect the whole of residents in Forest Fields. But these are the comments that have been passed on to Safe and Able team. So, to sum up. As you know, I'm committed in my area. For those who have not met me before, I have grown up in Forest Fields in New Bedford. And therefore, it is personal to me. I am committed in reducing crime and antisocial behaviour and improving the quality of life for the residents, my residents. I still have family and friends in the area. And therefore, a redeployable camera is one tool to support the police and partner agencies at the request of the residents. Thank you.